May the dear Lord help us to look at a word in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. And may it be entirely for his honour and for his glory. Looking unto Jesus. I read the whole verse, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God, looking unto Jesus. Paul, in his writings and all his preachings, never directed himself, anybody, to look to himself. He directed everybody to Jesus. And he writes here so sweetly these words that I believe have been helped to the generations. Many generations have enjoyed the benefit of these blessed words, looking unto Jesus. Hebrews chapter 11, read it. Every single one of them enjoyed this, looking by faith to Jesus. In their trials, their tribulations, their problems, looking unto Jesus. And they got through. They got through looking unto Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? How have you come this morning? I believe I'm found right in the centre of this, looking. The word looking. What a beautiful word for us to have on earth. Looking. No ability in self. None at all. If we have ability, we won't be looking. But if we're stripped of all our ability, we'll be looking. Looking unto Jesus. Isn't that lovely? We have many mountains. The mountains that are in front of us, each one of us. Mountains of problems. Mountains that we can't talk about. What are we going to do? We're going to look. We're going to look unto Jesus. That's what we're going to do. And the people of God, right down through the ages, have looked. And I believe you'll be looking to him for deliverance. Think of how many people have looked to Jesus for deliverance. Do you need it? Do you need deliverance? If you don't need it, you won't be looking. But if you need deliverance, you'll be looking. Why? Why will you look to Jesus for deliverance? Because he's able. He's able. The only place on earth where deliverance is, looking unto Jesus. He's able. Look how many through the scriptures were delivered. Why? Because he was able. He was able. Isn't that lovely? So if you're looking for deliverance, look here. But it's by faith. Not naturally. We can't see Jesus naturally. We can't have deliverance naturally. I'm talking about that spiritual deliverance. Looking unto Jesus. So keep looking. Whoever you are, if you need deliverance, look here. And then I believe we'll be looking to him. What for? What are you looking for? Forgiveness? Do you need forgiving? I do. Oh, the mountains of sin. Where are you going to get forgiven? Do you need forgiving? You will do. If you're heaven bound and you're going to be found in glory with this person and with the many generations, you're going to need for being forgiven. And where are you going to be forgiven? Looking unto Jesus. Isn't it beautiful that there's a place to look? A place to look. And then we look to him for grace. Do you need grace? Do you? Well, if you do, there's a place here. Looking unto Jesus. He giveth more grace. He said to the apostle here, we know that the apostle had a thorn in the flesh. What did he say? He said so beautifully, didn't he? And the apostle heard him say it and he felt it. And I believe many of the dear people of God have. My grace. My grace. Not Paul's grace. Although he was a gracious man, everything was found in Christ. My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And are you looking for strength? Oh, the times I look for strength. We're a weak people, aren't we? I believe the people of God are brought to weakness. They know what real weakness is. Looking unto Jesus. This strength is a beautiful word in the Old Testament, isn't it? Thy shoes. Think about it. Thy shoes. Look down by faith, child of God, at your feet, and see if you're wearing these shoes. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass. That's going to be a hard pathway then, isn't it? Iron and brass. I bought a new pair of shoes recently, and one of them hurt me so much, I thought I'd have to take it back. But it wasn't long after wearing them that it stretched and fitted my foot. These shoes, iron and brass, if you have them on, there's reasons why you have them on. It's to keep you looking unto Jesus. Shoes of iron and brass. It's to show you that it's a painful way. It's to show you that you will endure to the end. They won't wear out. Shoes of iron and brass. And also, beautifully. And the times I've tried to get out of things, oh, it keeps you in the way. It keeps you in the narrow way. It keeps you walking, plodding onwards. This is what we need, don't we? Oh, that we might have shoes of iron and brass. But then he doesn't leave it there, does he? And as thy days. Do you need strength? Daily strength. As thy days. So shall thy strength be. Isn't that lovely? He's going to give out strength to us, to the people of God, daily. A hard path, but the strength sufficient for that path. Isn't that lovely? Strength in him to continue and to endure the end. And every one that wears these shoes of iron and brass will be found in glory at last. To receive the crown of life. And I believe the people of God are looking unto Jesus for this strength. And then they'll be looking to him to work. Do you need God to work in your heart? Do you need him to work in your life? Do you? In your families? Do you often pray, work, dear Lord, work in my heart? He said, hasn't he? I will work. And who shall let him? Can we hold back that divine arm? Can we? Can we say unto God, what doest thou? We can't, can we? We want to see him work. We want to see him work in the families and bring them back. We want to see a change in them, don't we? I will work. Well, this is what we've got to do by faith. Looking unto Jesus. And then what about the supply of our needs? We do need him to supply our needs, don't we? The family of God that are looking unto Jesus, he will supply their needs. He will. The same apostle, this dear apostle, sometimes your heart's knit to him, isn't it? He says, my God shall supply your need. My God shall supply your need. It doesn't matter what the need is. My God shall supply your need. According to his riches in glory, looking unto Jesus. And haven't we seen it over the years? Those things that we've needed have appeared. Why? Because we've been looking. We've been looking unto Jesus. Isn't that lovely? Where are you looking this morning? Where am I looking? And then I believe you'll be looking to him in temptation. Many are tempted. And the hour of temptation is dark. and it's solemn, and it's frightening. And we read that there is a day coming when temptation will take hold of man. And the family of God have their temptations right down through. Where are you going to look in your temptation? This dear one. Looking unto Jesus. There's nowhere else to look, is there? When everything around you is dark and Satan sets on you and you don't know which way to turn. We do know which way to turn, don't we? We do, don't we? And our wicked heart goes in league with Satan sometimes in the temptation, doesn't it? Looking unto Jesus. Oh, that we could be found there now. And what I thought was so beautiful, that the blackest, the vilest, the most unworthy, the most unable, those that feel cut off, those that feel out of the secret, those that feel that they've sinned past redemption, what? Can look by faith. Isn't that lovely? They can look. You're not too black. You're not too cut off. You're not too far away. You can still look, can't you? You can look. It's like a treasure, this is. This is like a jewel from the riches of his grace. This is like he's dispensed to us here upon earth. One of those sweet, sparkling jewels from heaven, looking unto Jesus. When the apostle wrote this, his heart was full, absolutely full of the love of Christ as it flowed forth from his pen for you and I. Little did he realise that you and I would be sitting here reading this beautiful word, looking unto Jesus. But there's a solemn side to it. Scripture declares to us that there's a solemn side. Many were never taught to look. And just to bring a few characters before you by God's grace. Lot's wife. Think about it. Husband and wife. Down in Sodom and Gomorrah. We read, don't we? That the filthy conversation of the wicked vexed Lot's soul every day. He was amongst people that he shouldn't be. Should he? He shouldn't have gone down into Sodom, should he? But he chose it. But think, husband and wife. Let's ask Lot's wife why she turned back. And you hear her answer. My heart's still there. What? She'd never been taught to look unto Jesus. Her heart was still down in Sodom. My friends were all there. What, Lot? What? You think about it. My pleasures are there. But what's most sad is, you can hear her say, my home is there. Her home. She wasn't looking unto Jesus, was she? What about Lot? Let's ask Lot. As he comes out, the angels have to grab his hand and pull him out. But deep within his heart we know that, as I said, the filthy conversation of the wicked vexed him every day. He came out. Why? Why did he come out? He didn't look back, did he? He didn't look back at all. He came out because he was looking unto Jesus. This wasn't his home, was it? He knew, taught by grace, this wasn't his home. I hope the Holy Spirit applies it to our breasts. That we might be found looking unto Jesus. And then I thought of Cain and Abel. Brothers. Brothers. Let's ask Cain why he brought the fruits of the earth. And hear his answer. The work of my hands. I planted them. I thought I'd be accepted because of the works of my hands. I planted them, I watered them, I cut them, and I brought them to God. poor sinner, that's what we do. Works. Without faith, he's dead. And he wasn't accepted. God refused him. Let's ask Abel why he brought the firstling of the flock. And you'll hear his answer. Beautiful answer. I've been taught by the Holy Spirit not to look at the works of my hands. I've been taught by grace to look to another. And down through the ages, you think the first family, the first two brothers, and he looked down through the ages and he saw the Lamb. And he brought the Lamb before God, didn't he? And he was accepted. He was accepted. The only offering that God would ever accept. Cain was looking to himself. Abel was looking unto Jesus. All those years ago, looking unto Jesus. Think about it. But what about the twins? Jacob and Esau. Over the top of that mother, while she was having those twins, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. It's a solemn word, isn't it, looking unto Jesus. Blessed if we are found looking unto Jesus. Eternally solemn if we're not. Eternally solemn if we never look. They came forth, the twins, didn't they? They grew up, didn't they? We know the outcome. We know that Jacob was taught in his life to look unto Jesus. Look at the places he came into to be taught that, looking unto Jesus. What about Esau? He was never taught to look to Jesus. Look how close they were, twins. Why, Esau, did you sell your birthright for that morsel of meat? Because he was greedy, he was hungry, wasn't he? He wanted the things of this earth, but not Jacob. Look at the blessings Jacob had all the way through his life, to show him that he was loved of God, to show him that he was chosen. And then I thought of David and Absalom, father and son. Father and son. Think how close it comes. If we're not looking unto Jesus. Father and son. What a bond. There's many fathers and sons in Scripture. Some are very close. But this one wasn't, was it? Absalom was looking the wrong way. And he was never taught to look the right way. And yet his dad was a king. His dad was a man after God's own heart. He was never taught to look. There's many more, isn't there? Judas, chosen by Jesus. But he was never a real disciple, was he? Never a real disciple. He kissed the Saviour. Now that's close, isn't it? Have a relationship to kiss. But it wasn't a kiss like that, was it? It was a betrayal. But he still kissed the Saviour. But he was never taught to look. Now, for us, it's a simple thing, isn't it, in life to look. He was never taught to look, spiritually, to Jesus. Only himself. Greed, money, riches, honour. All for himself. But he didn't do him any good, did he? We see the end of him. Didn't even want the money at the end, did he? Yet he betrayed the Saviour with a kiss. He's got so close to him. This is the Holy Spirit's work, dear friends. Oh, that we knew more of it. To look unto Jesus. But then I thought of dear Hezekiah. Oh, he's a favoured character in the Bible, isn't he? I believe some of us love dear Hezekiah in the Scriptures. He got the message from Isaiah, didn't he? Set thine house in order. He's already a gracious king. But he needed to know more. Had he left off looking unto Jesus? Had he actually left off? Have you and have I? Is there a bit of a dimness? Aren't we looking like we used to look? Aren't we favoured with those fresh views? I believe the child of God will be stirred up to look afresh. Well, he was stirred up, wasn't he, Hezekiah? He got the message, Isaiah. God has said, set thine house in order, thou shalt die and not live. What did he do? Did he panic? Did he go and tell the kingdom that he was dying and that's it, they wouldn't have a king anymore? What did he do? He'd done something that's so beautiful. And I think we'd be taught it by the Spirit. We'd do it daily. Taught by the precious Spirit of God. He turned his face to the wall. That's what he did. He went alone. Have you ever gone alone and turned your face to the wall? Remember, Song of Solomon says he's behind the wall, just behind the wall. And he turned his face to the wall. We don't know how long, do we? But he turned his face to the wall. He was found. View him now. Looking unto Jesus. You can see him, can't you? With your mind's eye. The King. The King. He was looking unto Jesus. Quietly looking unto Jesus. Like a crane or a swallow. So did I chatter. All these benefits and beautiful things that came forth from my Hezekiah looking unto Jesus have been the benefits of the family of God down through the ages. How they rested, how they felt such a sweetness to Hezekiah. Well, it wasn't long, was it? What happened? He got another message, didn't he? We need that other message, don't we, sometimes? I will see you again. Isn't that beautiful? I will see you again. I'll come to you and I'll tell you. I'll tell you those things that you need. I haven't left you. And what, as I thought of these things, it was so beautiful to me that Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and he looked to Jesus. What about the other side? Jesus was watching him. The Lord was watching him all the time. Didn't feel it, did he? He was in a desperate case. Thou shalt die and not live. He needed those things, didn't he? Done and to the kingdom. But he was being watched. He was being watched. And we know that by scripture. God says, I have seen. Isn't that lovely? I have seen. In your cases, in your trials, in your problems, he's watching. He never takes his eyes off his people. Never. You feel he has done. Sometimes you feel lonely. Sometimes you feel desperate. Sometimes you feel that you've got nobody to talk to. He's watching you. He's watching you. I have seen thy tears, Hezekiah. I have seen. But he's not just seen. He's not a God afar off. I am come down to deliver you. He's going to come right down to where we are to deliver Hezekiah. And the blessing is with him and the blessing is with his presence. And that when he comes into your heart, you'll know it. And I will add unto thy days 15 years. How long did he have? 6? That's our doubting heart, isn't it? That's what we think. God said 15 years. He had 15 years. Isn't that lovely? Looking unto Jesus. And then in the Song of Solomon, you can read it. When she viewed him. She looked. You just read Song of Solomon chapter 5. She looked at him from his head. Slowly she went down to his feet. What did she say? She was looking unto Jesus. And she was overwhelmed. And she couldn't take her eyes off of him. This is the spouse. Oh, that we could have souls and oh, that I could be one of them. The days of our espousals renewed. When all we saw was Jesus in everything, everything. Every time we opened the Bible, every time we looked out of the window, he was there, he was there. Have you had these days? Well, she looked, she loved, because he first loved her. And she viewed him from top to bottom, and she couldn't find any fault with him. No fault at all. And you, neither were you, neither will I. There's no fault in him. Nothing. And the longer you look at him, the more you want to see. And the more you see, the longer you want to look at him. Isn't that lovely? Looking unto Jesus. And she says, yea. He is altogether lovely. Altogether lovely. Oh, to feel it. She was looking so clearly. She had such bright views of the dear Lord Jesus, didn't she? Such clear views of who he was. Such clear views of what he was going to do. Such clear views of who he was and where he had come from. Such clear views of his purity. Oh, you think of it. The purity of Jesus. No fault in him. No spot. Nothing. And he dwelt among us. Willingly dwelt among us. So that we should benefit from looking unto Jesus. What a lovely thing that is, isn't it? May we be found daily looking unto Jesus. But then these words that come forth from the Bible are absolutely beautiful. It says looking. It doesn't say bringing. It doesn't say you've got to have much. It doesn't say come with armfuls. It doesn't say buy. It says look. And you won't have anything. By the Holy Spirit's teaching, you won't have anything. It's a painful path, and you wonder what's going on when he strips you. But you won't have anything. He doesn't ask for anything. He says, look. Look, that's all we've got to do is look. That's a God, isn't it? That's a God. And I believe the dear children of God are look. They'll be looking unto Jesus for the covenant. Now, when I was young, I didn't really understand that. So what does that mean? The covenant. Looking to him for the covenant. Well, when I was on the building, I used to go round looking at land. Potential land to have houses built on. And one day I went to this man that I knew quite well, and he had a lovely bit of land at the back of his house, and I said to him, would you be willing to sell that for building land? He said to me, my boy, I've put a covenant on that. He said that nobody is ever going to build on it. He said, I've signed it and it's been sealed. I said, okay, that's fine. I went away. A little while, a few years later, I went back. What was on the land? Houses. There was a whole estate built on this land. So I inquired what happened. Somebody told me that the father had died. The son had changed the covenant. It had all gone to the son and he had changed the covenant. Well, I thought, that's a beautiful lesson. This eternal covenant of Jesus was signed and sealed by the blood of the Lamb. It was actually signed by his own blood. And he ever lives now to continue that covenant. That he will save rebellious man. Are you looking to the promises? Have you a little promise? Even a small promise? Are you looking to it? They're all of them, a yea and amen in Jesus. They are his by right. Every single promise that is in the scriptures is his by right, by divine right. Given by the Father, performed by the Son, and then dispensed to the needy. Dispensed. But a real promise is to the needy. Promises aren't dispensed to anybody. They're dispensed to the needy. They're dispensed to those to whom he dispenses them. They're dispensed by the Holy Ghost into the heart to revive us and to help us. And I think that's so lovely. But then sometimes we can't see a week ahead, can we? We can't see a day ahead. We can't see 10 minutes ahead. And sometimes it comes right down to a minute. We can't see, can we? And there's a beautiful word that came forth from the Saviour's lips for those who are looking unto Jesus. Take no thought for the morrow. Dear Lord, speak this to me. Take no thought for the morrow. For the morrow. You think, for the morrow shall take care of the thoughts of itself. The cares all in his hands. All tomorrow's cares are in his hands. And that's where we've got to leave them. But what you have got to do something by faith, and that's looking unto Jesus, haven't we? That's where he's holding them. Without faith, we can't look to Jesus. Oh, I can't look to him. And you won't be able to. But with faith, what a gracious exercise it is to be looking unto Jesus. Be on your knees a lot, aren't you? You'll be in prayer a lot, aren't you? You'll be in exercise a lot, aren't you? Looking unto Jesus. But then, this looking. Throughout the earth there are these watchtowers. We've been to some ports, harbours, where they're on the entrance of the harbour. And they're for a reason. They're not just buildings, the watchtowers for a reason. What is it? So that it can be manned, day and night. So that they can tell good news, they can tell bad news to the rest of the city inside. Well, one we went to, there was a great big eye on it, showing that it was a watchtower. And I thought, what about our hearts? In the book of Habakkuk, it says, chapter 2, it says we should be on our watchtower. What, sometimes? Just in the day? Just for a few hours? What about at night? We should be on our watchtower, constantly, manning the watchtower, in our hearts, looking unto Jesus. We don't, but we should do. And we're failures, all of us, because he's faithful. And in the old ships, they used to have the crow's nest, where a man would go up and he would warn, or he would shout for joy that land was ahead. Do you think that same man did it every day? Do you think they took turns? May we lay these things to heart. He was watching. He was watching, wasn't he? But they were all willing to watch. When it came their turn, they were willing. They followed the obedience. They were obedient to their master's call. When it was their turn, they did their watch. What about you and I? Are we obedient? There's a lot in this, isn't there? Obedience, looking unto Jesus. We fail, don't we? We do fail. But then the flesh, and all flesh here below, is looking for rest and peace. All of us, by nature. We're looking for an easy path. We're looking for something that helps us along, aren't we? Well, I believe each day we're proving, and many of you have, that it's only in Jesus. It's only looking to him. That's where real rest is found. That's where real enjoyment is found. That's where the things that we really need are found. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these other things, all the necessary things, shall be added unto you. That's where we've got to look, isn't it? Under Jesus. Don't look at your heart. Don't look at your pathway. Don't look at your circumstances. Don't look at those things that draw you down. It's easy to say, isn't it? It's easy to say, but it's true. It's true. By faith we must look to Jesus. Those things that are dragging us down. Think about it. If only we could have a little grain of faith to look to Jesus, we'd be happy then, wouldn't we? We'd see then that all our troubles, all our trials are swallowed up with a view of Him. But then what about our pathways? Do you know the Lord brings you into different pathways, and some more severe than others, but He still works in the child of God and He brings them into a pathway. What for? So they're taught to look. That's why. So the one thing they're taught is to look away from self. And I thought of Peter. Dear Peter. He was fishing. He wasn't looking, was he? On the shore, there's a stranger arrives. He calls Peter. And such is his calling, such is the power of his voice. He wasn't shouting, was he? It was constraining. What did he say to Peter? Follow me. What, and I'll give you riches? I'll give you a comfortable life? He wasn't going to have that, was he? Peter, follow me. Now Peter, just to pick one of the disciples, was taught to look to Jesus, wasn't he? Think, as you view Peter's life, he was willing to get over the boat and walk on the water, wasn't he? Looking unto Jesus. But when he took his eyes off, he saw the water all around him. He saw the waves, the trouble. Is that what you and I like? We're willing, aren't we? We're willing to follow him. We're willing to do the things all the time. We're looking unto Jesus. But then we should always be looking unto Jesus, shouldn't we? He took his eyes off him. It's the wrong thing to do, Peter. But you're going to learn a lesson, Peter. You've taken your eyes off me. He started to sink. We don't know how close Jesus was, but he was that close that he took hold of him. Why didn't Peter grab onto him? Because he was sinking. And he had just a little bit of faith, just enough faith. He didn't look back to the boat, did he, and say, quick, help me, I'm sinking. He didn't ask for a rope to be thrown, did he, from his friends? Poor nature. Strong faith. What did he cry? Lord, save me. He learned that lesson well, didn't he? Take your eyes off Jesus and you sink. Look to Jesus and there was a hand. And they were back in the boat. And then another time. So many times. This precious book, isn't it? He was in prison. Peter was in prison. You wouldn't think that, would you? He was in prison for the name of Jesus. He'd been taught to look. He was asleep. Asleep? How can you sleep, Peter? How can you sleep? The death sentence tomorrow. The soldiers all around you. He slept. And the reason he slept was because he had been taught this. He was looking to Jesus. And the peace that he was in. Come life, he was looking to Jesus. Come death, he'd never take his eyes off him. And he was willing to sleep. And he laid down gently. Just like he was in bed. With all the chains around him. And with the guards around him. With a death sentence on him, and he lay there asleep as though he was in bed. What about you and I and our troubles, our problems? Sometimes we have restless nights, don't we? Look to Jesus. Look to him. It wasn't long, was it? It wasn't long at all. He found something on the side. dispatched from heaven, an angel, he'd come down to deliver him. He was like them that dreamed as he come forth from the prison, wasn't he? He got up out, he come forth, and the gate opened on its own, didn't he? Why? Where was Peter looking? Not to himself, was he? You think he was being carried? The angel wasn't carrying him. I believe this word was carrying him. He was looking unto Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? We see him on the day of Pentecost. What was his theme? What was his theme to the sinners? Looking unto him that died. Looking unto him that gave himself. But then I just thought of Stephen, just quickly. I thought of Stephen, you know. It's a beautiful word if you read Stephen's case. The martyr Stephen. He gave such a beautiful testimony. It was to the glory of God. Everything he said was to the glory of God. And they stoned him. Dear Stephen. They stoned him. Well, we read something very special about Stephen. They stoned him calling upon God. Paul was there. Remember, Paul was there. And Stephen, calling upon God, what? He looked steadfastly into heaven. That's a beautiful word, that steadfastly, isn't it? If we're looking unto Jesus steadfastly, we'll see him. He said he sees him. Paul's listening. And calling upon God, he said, I see the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God to receive him into glory. But he was looking steadfastly into heaven. And when I saw, and when I thought of this as it came to me, I thought, no wonder Paul wrote looking unto Jesus. No wonder his pen flowed. He couldn't stop it, could he? He's the pen of a ready writer. Think back when he saw this, when he wrote to the Hebrews, looking unto Jesus. He thought of Stephen, looking steadfastly. And he received him into glory. He went home to glory, Stephen did. Such a painful death. It was so painful. But he was found looking unto Jesus. And Paul knew it. And Paul wrote about it. And that's just one case Paul remembered, isn't it? How many more cases did Paul remember of those who through faith and patience looked unto Jesus? May we be found looking, constantly looking. Oh, that we could have the eye of faith open so that we're looking as well. He's there. The sweet attraction is there. If only we had faith to see. Do pray for it. Many generations have received it and experienced it and enjoyed it. And may we in our day and generation enjoy the benefits of this beautiful word, looking unto Jesus. May the Lord bless the world. Amen.